Anybody excited to be in God's house this morning? Are you excited to be in God's Word? I'm telling you, it's in God's Word that we're and in His presence that we're changed to be like Him. Amen? And that's the whole reason I got out of bed and came this morning, is so that I can get into His Word and let Him change me. And I want to be more like Him each and every day. So let's pray. Let's start off in prayer this morning. I'm just going to tell you right off the bat, the first service, I'm not sure what happened there, other than just the Lord just began to speak to me and speak through us, and we just had a great time in the Word. Now, however, I'm not gonna be fake with you and try to conjure something up. If I know you say come on, but what I got to do is I got to get my voice right to where I can talk. If He begins to move, and I'm going to say what He tells me to say, but my fear this morning is that what I'm saying to you is going to hurt you, and that's not my intention. My intention is I'm lovingly. Trying to lovingly and cautiously move you towards Jesus this morning. Okay? It's not to hurt you, but sometimes we need our eyes opened and we have to see, because sometimes the old adage, I can't fix it if I don't know it's broke. I think sometimes that's where we are in our relationship with Christ. And so let's just pray. Let's ask God to have His way in this message and in our lives this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I love You and I thank You, Lord, for this day. I thank You, Lord, for Your presence in this place and what You've already done here this morning. God, we know that You're not done. I know that this group of people, Lord, You woke them up this morning. You gave them the ability and the energy and the desire to just get dressed and come to this place. God, I pray that this morning, in this place, God, that You would have Your perfect will. Lord, that we would surrender our hearts and our lives and our minds to You. God, we would say, Jesus, have Your way in me. Create in us a spirit that bears fruit. I ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to start off a little lighter than this. I'm going to just ask you a little bit about how many of you like peaches? All right. I love peaches. All right. So, yeah, we can go from serious to peaches, right? Just boop. But I just want to set something up for you a little bit. You know, I loved peaches as a kid so much that every time I would go to my Granny Smith's house, and I told him in the first service, I do have a Granny Smith. And I would go to her house, and every time I would leave, without fail, Granny would hand me a can of peaches and send them home with me. So I'm assuming I liked peaches as a boy. And so I don't remember liking them, but I know I like them now, so I'm assuming that's why she gave them to me. But every time, she would give me a can of peaches. And I remember also as a boy that in our backyard, we had about three or maybe four. I can't remember if one died. Anyhow, we had some peach trees in our backyard. And all of the peach trees except for one, man, you could go by whenever the peaches were ripe. You could go by and pick that peach off and just dust it off and eat it. And it was so good. And I remember that. But I also remember that over in the right-hand side of our house, so it'd be over on the southwest corner of the yard, there was another peach tree. And I don't know if it's because the carport was there and it didn't get the sunshine. I don't know why it didn't. But it would produce a whole bunch of what I thought was going to be some great peaches. But they would never get to be bigger than about the size of a golf ball, and they'd be as hard as a rock, and the squirrels wouldn't even eat them. You know, I mean, they were just bad fruit. And so as the Lord was kind of just laying this on my heart and I was studying this morning, I was thinking about this. And I was thinking, it got me to thinking that tree that doesn't really produce fruit, or what fruit it does is bad, that it's a lot of like people that call themselves Christians sometimes. And no, I know we've been winding down this series called Christiany, and I'm winding it down today. I believe this is the last one. And so next week we'll come up with something else for you. But we all know that the definition of Christianity, if you've been here over the last five, this is the fifth week of it, it's having a half-hearted faith, wearing the label of Christian without truly following Jesus. All right, so there's the definition of Christianity. And a lot of people call themselves Christians, and you might call yourself a Christian because you believe in God and you go to church. But just like that peach tree, there are many people that claim to know Jesus and to be a Christian, but they don't produce much fruit. And not only are they not fruitful, meaning the fruits of the Spirit, okay, we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And so we have the nine fruits of the Spirit there. And not only do you not see good fruits in some people, but some people you even see bad fruit, don't you? You see the opposite. And they claim to know Jesus, but they can, even though they're saying, I know Jesus and I'm a Christian, you can see them be rude at times, or selfish, or spiritually arrogant, if you will, judgmental, and even hypocritical. There's a lot of people that claim to be Jesus followers, but when you get close enough to them, they're all leaves and no fruit. And so I don't want to get too personal with you this morning, but I wonder if some of you, maybe you know somebody like this that says, I'm a Christian, but you don't see much fruit. You can raise your hand. Don't point at them. We'll pray for them, but you can raise your hand if you know somebody like that. And so it's a little bit early for this question, so I'm not going to ask this question. I'm going to ask it a little bit later, okay? And so, but I want us to see here today, I want us to see that God's word is alive and it's living, right? Sharper than a two-edged sword. It says in there, it says it'll never return void, right? And so God's word is very, very clear that as a disciple of Jesus, that we should bear fruit. And I'm not talking about apples and pears. Remember, I'm talking about spiritual fruit. And I want us to look in John chapter 15, verses 5 and 8. This is Jesus talking, and he says this. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing though. So he's saying you can do nothing without me. And then he goes on to say, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my true disciples. So in other words, Jesus is saying that you actually demonstrate your faithfulness to him by producing spiritual fruit, okay? And so you show people that you're a disciple of Jesus when the fruits of the Spirit come out in your life. That's it. And Jesus goes on to tell us that someone will actually know us, and he will know that we're committed to him by the fruit that you and I bear in our lives. He tells us this in Matthew 7, 16 and 17. He says this. It says, you will know them by their fruits. Wow. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Jesus gives us this really kind of a powerful and personal metaphor when he tells you and I. He says that you and I are like a tree, and a tree is supposed to produce fruit. And that's how our non-believing world that we live in is going to recognize that you and I belong to Jesus. It's because of the spiritual fruit that they'll see in our lives out of the way that we live. So in other words, they won't just know they won't just know you by what you say, but they'll know you by how you live. Okay? You see, it's not just enough to claim Jesus, but the fruits of the Spirit need to be displayed through Jesus every single day in our life. And I think that most of you know someone like this. You know someone that has Jesus in their life, and it's just everywhere. Like Andrea sitting here on the front row. I'm telling you, Andrea, you know, you're just so full of love and you're full of joy. She's full of peace, and people just want to be around her. I mean, you ladies go over there at 5 a.m. for coffee and Jesus or whatever time y'all get there. I know it's early, and y'all get up and you go over there because she's not perfect, but you know that she cares about you. And there's just something that comes out of her that makes you want to be around her, and you know that she lives like Christ and she loves like Christ, and that she tries to make a difference like Christ. You know, we all know somebody like that, that they live a life in a way that demonstrates their commitment to Jesus, and they see that all the fruits of the Spirit flow through them when we look at their lives. But then there are some that call themselves Christians, and excuse me, and maybe they can even quote some Bible verses. They know a lot about the Bible. They got a lot of Bible knowledge, but they lack integrity. They'll say one thing, and then they'll do another. They say, I'm a Christian, but a lot of times they're rude or they're harsh or they're selfish, okay? And now I believe that we're probably deep enough in the message for me to ask you the question I wanted to ask you a while ago is this. When others look at you, what do they see? What do they see? Is it clear by the fruit of your life, the way that you treat people, the way you carry yourself? Is it clear to them that you are a follower of Jesus? Or do they see you? Do they see the love that you have? Do they see that you're patient, that you're kind, that you're full of joy, all of these things? Or do they see you kind of like that one peach tree that I had that you're lucky if you get one off of it, and the ones that there are just like little golf balls, and they're bad fruit, and they're not worth anything, not worth to eat. You call yourself a Christian, but you aren't very loving or very caring, and a whole lot of time you don't have time for people. You might even be inconsiderate at times, and we can read about these fruits of the Spirit, and I want to show you those to you. They're in Galatians chapter 5. There's the 9 fruits of the Spirit, and if you know them, you can say them with me, all right? It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. But I also want you to see that there's other fruits. And those other fruits sometimes, there's another fruit. There's the fruit of the Spirit, and there's the fruit of the flesh. All right? The fruit of your will, your selfishness, what you want, your desires. We have that. And it's not the fruit of the Spirit, but it's the fruit of the flesh. And the Apostle Paul, he talks about this, and he says that we basically live from one of these two things, okay? So like if you're a follower of Jesus, your spirit is connected to God, and so you're either a follower of Jesus and your spirit's connected. But the problem is that our spirit is always at constant war with our flesh. And so the battle ensues, and Paul calls it the flesh, and he's not talking about our skin. It's the Greek word sarx, and it means your fleshly nature, if you will, whenever you read this. And your flesh wants to do what's selfish, and your spirit wants to do what is God-honoring. And so there's this battle that goes on between us and our spirit and our flesh. And so I want to show you the fruits of the Spirit, and I want to show you the fruits of the flesh. And I want you to just take a little bit of a time here, and let's just see how we're characterized. Are we characterized more by the fruit of the Spirit or by the fruits of the flesh? And so when people come to you, do they see you as loving, someone that really just loves people, or are you someone that's selfish and just all about yourself? When people see you, do they see you joyful? Like, man, the joy of the Lord is that person's strength. Or do they see you all the time just frustrated and wore out? Do they see peacefulness coming out of your house and out of your cubicle at work and wherever you are? Do they see you as peaceful? Or do they see you as a person that's just full of anxiety and you live in this anxious state of mind all the time? Or how about patient? Do people see you as patient? I'm going to tell you, this one here gets me sometimes. Are you patient with people when things aren't going well, or only when things are going fine? When things aren't going well, do you get impatient? How about kind? Do people see you kind? Someone that is very caring, or do they see you as uncaring? Let's go to the next slide. Good. Goodness is a part of the fruits of the Spirit. Do people see that you're a good person? Or when they look at you and they see you, do they think, wow, man, that person's bad. Got a bad attitude, bad everything. How about faithful? When people see you, your friends, when they see you, do they know that you're faithful to God and faithful to their friendship? Or do they have to wonder, are you talking about me behind my back? Are you disloyal sometimes? And do a little bit of gossiping, maybe in a prayer request. I'm trying to be gentle here. How about gentle? Are you gentle when you come across to people? Or are you harsh? Like, you should have known that. Why don't you? And just being harsh. And then finally, self-control. Another one. Gets us every time. Self-control. Do you have that when things get tough? Or are you just indulgent? Do you just whatever floats your boat, you just do it, and it doesn't matter who it hurts or what it upsets or whether it pleases God? Or do you have self-control? So these are the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of the flesh. And I just want you to take a moment and look at those and say to yourself, are you more characterized by the fruits of the Spirit, or are you more characterized by the fruits of the flesh? And I want you to understand that this is where it gets complicated, though. Okay? This is where, for me, it does. The reason it gets complicated for me is because I see myself on both sides of this. Like, sometimes I can be really, really patient. Even when things aren't going bad or aren't going right, I can be patient. But then at other times, for some reason, I don't know why, but man, I don't have patience and I don't have time for nothing or nobody. Just being honest with you. But here's what I've noticed, though. Here's what I've noticed whenever I'm like that. Whenever I'm not bearing good fruit, whenever I'm impatient and I have a part that, of my life that's displaying bad fruit, I can always tell myself I've got a good excuse, right? Man, it's somebody else's fault. I'm under a lot of pressure. Y'all don't know what's going on in my life. And so if I have bad fruit, I have an excuse. But sometimes when I see someone else with bad fruit, I go to judging them. If I have bad fruit, I have a reason, you see. And what I've noticed, though, through this, in prayer and seeking forgiveness for my bad attitudes at times and for my not producing good fruits, I've noticed that even though I tell myself that I have a good excuse, that if I still belong to Jesus and I'm connected to the vine, then there's no excuse for bad fruit. When you look at it, I want you to understand this. I want you to see this. If you belong to Jesus and you're connected to the vine, there is no excuse for bad fruit. And here's what Jesus calls us out on this. This is where he talks to us about this. Scripture tells us in the Bible at place, tells us that he talks about wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. You see, he talks about those that are not followers of Jesus, but they pretend that they are. You see, I don't know about you, but I don't know most people that I don't think they go out and intentionally try to deceive others. But I think what happens a lot of time without even knowing it, they end up deceiving themselves. And then they start dressing up their flesh to make it look spiritual. And they become Christian-y, if you will. And we try to make our bad fruit look like good fruit. You know what I'm talking about? Like, sometimes we just know how to talk the talk, don't we? But we just don't walk the walk. Now, I don't know if you've been around here long enough to know or not. And maybe if you're new around here and you're a Christian, and maybe you're not a Christian, but around here we have our own language. In church, we have our own language. You know, like, we can say, hey, brother, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you, brother. You know, and we start talking real spiritual. You know, we can act all spiritual. We can dress it up and we can act like we're really spiritual. And we get this spiritual talk and this spiritual language going on around us. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody? Okay. I'm not alone. Thank you, Jesus. You know, and if you're around here long enough, I mean, you're going to find out that that your T-shirts will even start to change. You know that? Your t-shirts will start changing. Because not if you get around here, stay around here long enough, pretty soon you're going to get one of these made new shirts saying you got baptized. Or you're going to serve on a serve team and you're going to get a dream team shirt. Or you're going to serve in Servolution. You'll have a Servolution shirt you can wear around town. And you can dress it up and you can make yourself look like, man, I go to church and I serve at this church. And you can talk the talk. You can wear the shirt. But I'm telling you what, if you're not producing fruit, you're not connected to the vine. And that's where our problem lies this morning. People, we got to produce good fruit. It's easy for us to do that. We talk the talk, we wear the clothes, we put K-Love on the radio, and we change our bio on our social media to say God comes first whenever we know he doesn't. We do it because we're masters of disguise. We're great at disguising, making our bad fruit look like good fruit. And we may have actually been changed by Jesus at some point in time, but when your fruit's not good, we start to disguise it. We start trying to make it look like it's good. It's a common thing everywhere we look. You can look at somebody's profile on social media and they'll say, oh, Jesus is first. But if you look really close, it's more self-promotion than it is Jesus' promotion. I'm telling you, you guys are pretty quiet this morning. Sometimes you're like, yeah, preacher, come on. And other times you're like, well, I should have stayed home today. So, but you know what? Some people will tell themselves this. I don't have time to serve. They'll come in here and we say, I don't have time to serve. Somebody else can open the door for me. They can watch my kids. And I'm not mad at anybody. Okay, please don't understand. This is hard for me to say. But it's easy for us to come in here and let people serve us. And we say, oh, well, I'm practicing self-care. And that's okay if you are. That's good. You need to do that. But sometimes it's just because we can come in here and we can master the art of selfishness. And we can disguise our fruit to where it doesn't look like it. Not doing anything for anybody else, and no real spiritual fruit is being produced, and we find ourselves dressing up the flesh. But I want you to know this morning that Jesus didn't call us to dress up the flesh. He called us to crucify it. He called us to die to it. And so we're to abide in the vine, the word says. The fruit of the Spirit comes supernaturally, if you will. And the reason this message, I believe, is so challenging is because it would be easy for you and I to come in here this morning and say, you know what, that message, boy, I wish they'd have been here. It'd been good for them to be here. But it's really hard for us to come in here this morning and say, oh, Jesus, thank you for showing me where I've messed up. Thank you for showing me that I'm not producing the fruit I should produce. Amen? Amen. All right. So what I want to do this morning is I want to ask you two questions, and I want the Holy Spirit to just minister to you this morning, and I want just listen for His voice as I ask you these questions. And please, this morning, please think about this. Question number one, how pleased do you think God is with the quality of your fruit? Let's just sit here for a moment. You see, when we see people at work, and does everybody know, not just by what you say, but not even by the shirt you wear, but by the things you do and the way you live, do they know that you have the Spirit of God living in you and His Spirit is supposed to be producing fruit in you? Or do you, when you go to work, do they say, man, I worked with that person for 7 years. I didn't know that as a Christian. That's all, you know. I had no idea. I worked beside them. So we have to ask ourselves this morning, how pleased do you think God is with the quality of your fruit? Now, the second question is a lot like it, but I'm going to word it this way. How pleased do you think God is with the quantity of your fruit? In other words, maybe you produce 3 peaches a year, and it's great if you get one of them, but everybody else that walks by, they're going to get that golf ball type thing that I was talking about off of my rock art tree, amen? So how pleased do you think God is with the quality and the quantity of your fruit? And I ask you this because sincerely I'm asking myself this same question. I've been asking myself this for weeks. Because you see, I don't want to just be selectively loving. Just loving those that love me back. I want to be able to love those that don't love me. I want to be overflowing with love. I don't want to just have peace in my life when everything's going okay. I want to have peace in my life when things are falling apart. You see, not too long ago, we lost my grandson. And I'm telling you, if it wasn't for the peace of God that gave that to me and my family, there's no way we could have traversed that path. It was just too difficult. You see, God gave us the peace because we were connected to Him. I see families, I've done funerals for families that wasn't connected to Him. And I see the pain and the anguish and the lost look on their face when they don't know where their loved one ended up in eternity. But you see, I want people to look at me and Shelly and say, man, it doesn't matter what they're going through. Man, you can see the joy of the Lord is their strength. That's the way I want to live my life. Do I do it all the time? No, I'm sad to say. So how pleased do you think God is with the quality of your fruit and the quantity of your fruit? And if you're like me, you genuinely are sitting here thinking, I need to improve here. So what do we do? How do we produce spiritual fruit? I'm glad you asked. How do we do it? How do we apply God's word? How do we produce more fruit? If you'd have asked me just a few months ago even this question, I would have probably given you just this soft theological answer. It would have been probably something like, well, you have a relationship with Jesus, and you just live for Jesus. If you were to say to me, Pastor Jack, how do I bear fruit? How do I live for Him? I'd say, well, you have a relationship with Him, and you just live for Him. And that would have been my easy answer. But that's actually wrong. And I've proved myself wrong, and I'm going to be admitting it today. And I'm going to explain this, okay? It's wrong for me to say that. And so I want us to look at John 15, 5. When Jesus is talking here in this scripture, more than likely they believe that He was near a vineyard. And so this is why He's talking to His disciples in a terminology of something that He could point to and be around, all right? And so he's saying to His disciples in verse 5 here, He says, I am the vine. So who is Jesus? Jesus is the vine. And who are we? You are the branches. That's right. And He says here, it says, we're the branches. So I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me, you see, I want you to see this is a promise to us. You don't have to do anything. You will just naturally, or even more accurately, you will supernaturally start to bear much fruit if you connect yourself and remain in Jesus. You see, now if you're disconnected from Jesus, Jesus tells us this. He says, you will do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So I want us to see there's only two players in this story here today, okay? There's Jesus and there's us. And this story is a metaphor, and it tells us who Jesus is. Jesus is the vine, tells us who we are. We're the branch, right? And so what happens when the branch is connected to Jesus, the vine? It bears fruit. Boom. It just bears fruit, right? When you're connected to the spiritual source, the Spirit produces spiritual fruit. Amen? And so when you're the branch and you're connected to Jesus, the vine, you produce good fruit. Now, does the branch have a relationship with the vine? Yes, it does. But I want us to see that it's way more than just a relationship, okay? You see, the branch needs the vine to survive. The vine can survive without the branch, okay? So us, we're the branch, He's the vine, He can survive without us, we can't survive without Him, so we have to stay connected to Him, right? Because He's the source of life for the branch. And so if we could, if I could give you this silly illustration, maybe, welcome to my brain. So if you could, talk to a baby in the womb, and we all know you can't do that, right? You can't, unless the baby's just really smart, okay? But if you could talk to that baby and you could say, "Hey, baby, do you have a relationship with your mom?" That baby would look at me and he'd probably go, "Bro." And the way he'd say "bro" is because he's not only a smart baby, but he's a cool baby. And he'd say, "Man, do I have a relationship with my mom? It's more than a relationship. It's like when she breathes, I breathe. She eats a milkshake, I get a milkshake. She loves chocolate, I love chocolate," right? And so that baby would say, "My entire existence literally comes from my mom, because I live in my mom. It's more than a relationship." And here in John chapter 15, verse 4, we can read this. We can see right here. I want you to see what Jesus is trying to tell us. He says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." And that was John chapter 15, verse 4. And I want you to see that this word meno, the word remain, it's where we get the word remain in our scripture. But it's in the Hebrew, it's meno, or the Greek, not Hebrew, it's the Greek word meno. And it means to remain, to abide in, to dwell in, to live in. All right? And I want us to notice something in this chapter 15 of John. Jesus mentions this word meno 11 times. Not one or two, but 11 times. So that makes me ask the question, I wonder what Jesus is trying to tell me. What is the most important thing in this chapter he's trying to tell me? He's trying to tell me that we need to remain in, we need to abide in, we need to dwell in, we need to live in the presence of God. Amen? We got to stay connected to our life source so that we can bear much fruit. And it says remain 11 times. But it also tells us that a branch can bear no fruit by itself. It must remain. You see, we can't go off on our own and bear any fruit. The only way you're going to bear fruit in your life, and that's to dwell in and remain in a relationship with Jesus this morning. And so I think many of us, we get it wrong. We try to think, well, it's still up to us. We end up becoming Christian-y and we believe in him, but we still think that it's about us. Amen? We think to ourselves, I've got to stop sinning. I've got to stop having bad thoughts, or I've got to stop saying bad words. But it's so difficult because you know the drivers out there, you know how they are. And I've got to start producing some spiritual fruit, but it's hard because I've got kids at home and sometimes they just wear me out and I don't have the energy for spiritual fruit and I don't know how to produce it anyways. And so what Jesus is trying to tell us by saying meno 11 times, I believe what he's trying to tell us is don't focus on production, focus on connection. We're not looking for the amount of fruit. We're looking for fruit. And the only way that fruit comes is through connection. And so we got to stay connected to the vine, abide in the vine. And if you stay connected, then you're going to bear good fruit. I remember as a kid's pastor, sometimes when I would be talking about the fruits of the Spirit, I would stand on the stage and I would put my arms out and I would start grimacing my face and I'd be going, and they'd be like, "Pastor Jack, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm trying to bear good fruit. I'm trying to bear fruit." And I couldn't bear any fruit because I wanted to get across to them that I cannot do it on my own. I've got to stay connected to the vine. And as I stay connected to the vine, he flows through me. The fruit, boom, there it is. It just comes out naturally, supernaturally, if you will. And so Jesus is the vine and you're the branch. What's your assignment? Be the branch. Just be the branch. You think, well, how do I do that? I got two answers for you. I got a normal one, and then I got a better one, okay? You want them both or just one? I'm going to give them both, all right? Because they're both good answers. They're both good answers, but one's a little bit better than the other. So the normal answer, which is a good answer, is you abide in Jesus by doing this. You pray. You pray. So, and of course you do. You got to talk to him. If you're going to abide in him, you have to have that relationship with him. And then you worship him because he inhabits your worship. And so you know that you need to worship him. And then you read God's word because it's through God's word that your mind is transformed. And how can we hide God's word in our heart if we don't read his word? And so then we obey God's word because now we've got it in our heart. And so we try our best to obey it, and we understand that obedience is better than sacrifice, and so we try that, and then we do life together. And this is another important thing to do, is to become a part of the church and the community here and do life together, because whenever we're not together, then we're isolated out there, and we're susceptible to the attacks of the devil. And so that would be the normal answer right there: pray, worship, read God's word, obey God's word, and just do life together. But I want to show you one just a little bit better than that, because this is what Paul says when he's talking about the fruits of the Spirit, like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. He says right after that, he says this in verse 25. He says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Okay? So what are we to do? We're to keep in step with the Spirit. And since we're crucifying our flesh so that we don't produce bad fruits of the flesh, then we're going to live by the Spirit by keeping in step with the Spirit. Is this making sense to you? And so we need to be remaining so close to Jesus every day of our life that every step we take, it's just directed by him. I'm so connected to him. I'm so in tune with him that the words that are coming out of my mouth are from him. The thoughts that are going through my brain are from him, because I'm so close and I'm so connected to him. And so that's the way it is with us. Every thought we think, I want it to come from God's heart, don't you? And I want to hide his word in my heart so that the power and the truth of his word flows through me to those around me that doesn't know him. Is we got to keep in step, right? Now, Shelly and I, we every once in a while, we like to dance around the house. And that's when nobody's looking, because I'm not that good. But sometimes I just like to she'll be in the kitchen, and I'll just grab her, and I'll just start dancing with her a little bit. And we just have a little fun time, because we got cement floors in our kitchen. We can slide all over that place. And the thing about it is when we're dancing with her, when I'm leading her and I'm guiding her, all it takes is just a little soft, gentle motion of my hand and we start to turn. Or I squeeze the hand, we go this way, and I'm leading her ever so gently. And when we do it right, we stay in step with each other. When we get it wrong, she's on my toes. Right? And so, if we want to get it right with God, we got to stay in step with the Spirit. We got to, every time we feel that nudge of the Holy Spirit saying, don't go over there, you're just going to get into trouble, okay? And you don't go that way. And when you're in step with the Holy Spirit and he says, hey, you see that person over there? They could use $20 to go to lunch today. And you say, okay, I'm in step with you. And you do it. Whatever it is that you're so connected with him, whatever it is he's wanting you to do, you're just out there and you're in step with the Holy Spirit. Before you know it, you're doing the life dance with Jesus. Isn't that amazing? How about you want to have a partner like that? Yeah, Shelly would much rather dance with Jesus than me, I can tell you that. But I want us to see that when we're in step with Jesus, we will produce good fruit. But when we're not going to produce any good fruit at all, okay? And so I'd ask you this morning, one more time, how pleased is God with the quality and the quantity of your fruit this morning? And I want to just share with you really quick, one of the reasons that this message is so tough, you know, that I need this message. It was for me this morning, for me. I'm glad you're here, but this is for me. Maybe it's for you, and I hope and pray that it is. But I'm so thankful that it is for me as well. Because not too long ago, after standing up here and preaching God's word and praying and worshiping and everything, we were on our way home, and man, this car cut me off. Now, I didn't cuss, but I tell you what, I told the girls, boy, I'd love to pull up there and make that guy pull over. I'd take him to the plowed dirt and dust him off, you know. And I realized I was so angry and so mad just after being on the stage. Yeah. And God showed me very clearly in that moment. He showed me something. He showed me that I was doing the work of the Spirit. Without the fruit of the Spirit, and this might be where you are right now. Maybe you're doing the work of the Spirit without the fruit of the Spirit. All leaves and no fruit. That was me at times. And I thought to myself, man, I need to do better. And the Holy Spirit put me in check one more time. He says, no, you don't need to be better. You need to draw closer. You see, sometimes we think the answer is in us still. I need to get better. I need to pray more. I need to do that. And God is saying, no, don't. Don't be better. Draw closer. Just come here. Come here. Let me love on you. Let me pour into you. Let me show you. Let me flow through you. That's what he wants to do to us this morning. How many of you want that this morning? If you would, stand to your feet this morning. What is our assignment this morning? It's not to try harder, but to draw closer. To be the branch. To abide in, to remain in, to live in, and be faithful to Jesus. That's what he's calling us to this morning. A faithful life is a fruitful life. And if you stay connected, I want to promise you just what God promises us. If you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. And you'll be connected to him, and you'll start to produce fruit in your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you just say, you know what, Pastor Jack, as I've been listening and I'm thinking about it, I'm not too sure that God would be thrilled with the amount of or the quality and the quantity of my fruit. My hands up. If that's you, say, Jesus, that's me. Now, if you're like me, I'm not satisfied with this. Because, people, I really do believe with all of my heart that God is calling Grace Point Church to be spiritually mature and producing spiritual fruit. So, if we're going to do that, we've got to draw near to him. We've got to connect to him and stay connected, because apart from him, we can do nothing. But through him and through us, he can produce fruit that we never even imagined. And I just want to tell you, with all of my heart, that's my prayer for me, and it's my prayer for you. I love you, and I'm not upset with you, but I believe that this morning that God is not pleased with our fruit, whether it be quality or quantity. And so if you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Jack, I recognize too that there's moments I'm on both sides of that. Sometimes I'm producing spiritual fruit, and sometimes the fruit of the flesh is coming out of me. And I'm not satisfied with that. And I want to draw closer to him. I want to be more like him. I want to stay connected to the vine so that I can produce fruit, so that then those around me that are hungry for Jesus, they can come to me and they can see that I'm producing good fruit and I have something to feed them. I have something to give them so that they can start their spiritual journey to being connected to the vine so that they produce fruit, so the people in their lives see the fruit, they partake of the fruit, and then it just goes on and on and on. We're creating disciples. That's my heart for you. It's my heart for me. My question now is, are you with me? Are we going to draw close to Jesus this morning? Are you ready? Are you ready to start producing spiritual fruit? We're going to go deep in God's word over this next year. And I'm praying with everything in me that God will lead us and guide us into that spirit and in his truth so that we can produce fruit. I'm praying that God will allow me to get into his word and study so that I'm producing fruit. I'm praying that God will get into you and you'll get into his word and you'll begin to produce fruit. You know, I love you. I appreciate that. But my heart for you this morning is to let's just draw closer, closer, closer. And let's let God produce the fruit. We can't do it. We cannot do it. But we can make ourselves available by staying connected. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to pray with you. And if you're with me and you're saying, Pastor Jack, I want to produce more fruit. I want my life to look more like the spirit fruit and not the fleshly fruit. Raise your hand one more time. And we're just going to pray right now. And we're going to seek God and we're going to ask him with everything inside of me. I want you to ask with everything inside of you that God would connect us to him like we've never been connected before, so that whenever he flows right through us and we bear fruit. Father, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, my healer, my provider, my spiritual source. God, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus, and I ask that you would create in me and everyone in this room a heart for you. God, that we would seek you diligently and fervently each and every day of our lives. God, that we would desire to be connected to you in a way like we've never been connected before. Father, so that you can flow through us in ways you've never flown through us before. God, you'll have us in places doing things that we never thought we'd do because it's by the power and the spirit of you moving in us and producing the fruit that allows us to move into those areas and do what you ask us to do. And God, I just pray right now that you'd put a burden upon us. Father, give us a desire inside of our heart to seek you more and more and more and more each and every day, so that God, but through your power and by your might, you would change us to be like you, that we would be your disciples. And Father, we would produce a fruit that's so tasty the world can't deny it, that they would say, I gotta have what they have. And God, that they would come in and that we would have fruit for them. God, it's not so that we can brag and we can say that Grace Point Church has fruit. No, God, it's so that we can say we serve a mighty God that flows through his people into those that are hurting and lost, and because he cares about them. And Lord, we'll give you glory and we'll give you honor in this place today. Father, I don't know if there's anyone here that don't know you as their Savior, but God, if they're here today, and they would say, you know, Jesus, I don't know you, but I do need to be connected to you because all I've got is bad fruit in my life. If those are here today, God, I pray that you would just speak into their heart. And God, that they would just come to you and they know that they could repent and just say, Jesus, I need you in my life. Forgive me of my sins. Wash them away. Create in me a heart to be like you. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.